Exodus chapter 20, and just the one verse, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So we're looking today at this ninth commandment, and my title is very simply, Lies, Lies, Lies. Well, we've been considering together over the last number of weeks these Ten Commandments. We looked initially at the first four commandments concerning God and how they relate to us and how we should treat the Lord and worship Him. And also, we've been looking recently at these second table of the law, how we are to deal with our neighbors, our duty to our neighbors, to one another. And we've seen, hasn't it, that it's a little bit more than just helping your neighbor cross the street or doing their shopping for the neighbor. All very nice things, all very good things, but there's a lot more to loving our neighbor than just these simple things or not doing him any harm. Real love to our neighbor, to one another, we've seen endeavors to protect our neighbor's life, to do good to our neighbor as much as we can, to preserve a life, to value his life. Love to our neighbor teaches us to keep our hands off his spouse, off his property and the goods, the things that belong to him, to take nothing from him, to respect him and to treat him with that courtesy and kindness and love that is genuine. Well, this ninth commandment takes us on a little bit further, and we're thinking here about our neighbor's reputation and how we should be concerned about his good name. We shouldn't be out to spoil a person's name and their good name by bearing false witness against them. We can easily, with our tongue, ruin a person's reputation. It takes a whole life for a person to build up their name. Everything goes, years and years may go into a person's life to build up their character, to establish a good name, and in a moment, some nasty word, some false rumor, some slander may bring that reputation down. It may hurt that person tremendously, and such a hammer blow may be dealt to that person's reputation from which he or she may never recover. So this commandment is dealing and teaching us that we should be very careful what we say about one another, as well as telling us, as we'll see, that we shouldn't lie. That's a very obvious teaching from this commandment. Well, we have here the chief sin which is mentioned. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And the idea, of course, isn't it, is a courtroom. Here is a courtroom, and you are giving witness, you are giving testimony. Make sure that your testimony is true. Make sure that you don't give false information so that the judge is misled and the jury is misled and an innocent man or woman suffers as a result of your testimony. It could cause tremendous harm to that person. That person may end up going to jail because of your false testimony. That person may be harmed, he may be fined, or even just his reputation, as we've said, may be very badly affected, irrecoverably affected. And he is so affected all because of the false and wrong testimony, the injury which is done. And the truth didn't come out. And the judge and everyone was deceived, in a sense. The only evidence that they had was what you gave to them, and they put everything together. Because it was false, they came up with a false judgment. So we have to be careful with our tongues. But this is the chief sin. This is the main sin which is mentioned. And of course, there are other sins which belong to the same family, which we will mention as we go along. One of them, of course, is slander. To slander a person's name, to speak evil, to spread false reports about a person. is also forbidden and prohibited by this commandment. In Leviticus 19 and verse 16, we read, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor." A talebearer, well, somebody who is spreading false reports, a gossip, we could say. The talebearer, the way this word came about was actually from a merchant who would go from place to place, selling his medicine and his spices. And as he went from one place to another, he would pick up stories along the way. And he would pick up false stories and rumors, and he would pass that on in all the other places that he went. And usually it was to his own benefit. Perhaps it was about other traders that he was picking up stories. And so he would spread these false stories about other traders so that it would curry favor in the eyes of the people with himself. And he would gain an advantage, but he was spreading these false rumors. He was carrying false stories, detrimental stories about other people. And that's what a gossip does. That's what a talebearer does. He goes from person to person, or from phone call to phone call, running down a person's reputation, spreading false things about him. We may be believers, and we're not exempt from being slandered against. This happened, of course, with the Lord Jesus Christ. His name was evil spoken of. They called him a glutton and a drunkard, and he was far from those things. They said he has a devil as well. And then the Apostle Paul, his name was also slandered against. When people said about him, well, he's telling you to sin, to sin even more, so that grace, God will then be more gracious to you. Go sin as you like. Don't worry, God will forgive you. He said no such thing. But this is what people said he was teaching. His name was slandered. False things said about our Lord. False things said about the apostle. And slander is such a terrible thing that a Puritan, Thomas Watson, said this about slander, the slanderer. The scorpion carries poison in his tail. The slanderer carries poison in his tongue. And that's true, isn't it? Well, there's another side to this commandment. One is we're not to bear false witness about our neighbor, but also we are to stand up for an innocent person. We saw that. That's the second half of that verse from Luke 19:16. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy brother. If you know somebody is innocent, and you know their life is in danger and is being harmed, and you just stand by and do nothing about it, then you're guilty, because you had information, you had the wherewithal to say something, and to that man's innocence would have been proved. If we withhold that and keep that back, that's also a criminal, and that's also forbidden. So another part of this, another side of this coin, is that we are to to speak up for people when we know the truth about them, and when we know somebody has said something wrong about them. We see this quite evidently or illustrated for us in 1 Samuel 19 and verse 4. We won't turn to it. You can read it in your own time. But you remember how King Saul was so against David, and he wanted to kill David. And he said to his servants, and he said to his sons, Jonathan, kill David. And Jonathan knew that his father had got it all wrong in his mind about David. And he knew that David was a good man. And so he spoke up for David. And we read in 1 Samuel 19 and verse 4, Jonathan spake good of David unto his father. And he went on to say, oh, how the things that he had done, how he put his own life in danger when he went up against Goliath, and the things that he had done for Israel. And he changed, even though it was only a temporary change, he changed King Saul's mind so that he said, okay, bring David back into the fold, as it were. And it was only temporary. But it shows you, friends, doesn't it, the power that there is in the tongue. We can use our tongues for evil, to put people down, or we can use our tongues for good, to remind people sometimes of the good things about people instead of the evil things. So what a power we hold in our tongues. But this commandment prohibits bearing a false witness and also prohibits lying. Now before we knew the Lord, in our unconverted state, we were so taken in by the lies around us. We believed all the false reports that were given to us. Our teachers told us about evolution. We believed the lie of evolution. People said to us, there is no God. We believed the lie about that was spoken to us. Lies about God, lies about the world, lies about ourselves. All these things we so easily succumbed to and adopted in our unconverted states. Not only did we believe the lie, we ourselves also, before we knew the Lord, were deceitful people. We were dishonest people. We were not really true in all our ways. There's a little bit of sincerity about us, but we have to say so much about us was false. We were like acting, like actors on a stage, and we were just acting and trying to give people a good impression about ourselves and trying to make people think better of ourselves than we really are. We were covering up so much. All those bad points, we didn't want others to see, the public to know. We covered those up when we went out. We didn't really want people to be aware of our faults, of our failings. Maybe a little bit of the real person was seen in the home. But outside the home, we would make sure we didn't let our guard down. If we did, it was only once in a while. But we were deceitful. It was all a sham, wasn't it, friends? It was giving a false impression, trying to speak higher of our achievements and our abilities and our status. But things changed when we came to the knowledge of the truth. When we came to the knowledge of the Lord, things changed in our lives. We saw the truth. Our life was transformed. Our eyes were opened. The scales fell from our eyes. And we saw the truth about God and the truth about our life. And yes, no, this life doesn't stop here. No, we are not animals. We are those who are made by God, created by God, whose life will go on forever. The truth about ourselves made a difference to our lives. We realize that God is true. His word is true, and He can be depended on. And our life was transformed as a result of it. We were brought to the knowledge of the truth. What a difference the truth has made to us. And what a deliverance has been achieved in our lives from the lies that we used to believe. Well, this commandment, friends, teaches us God is true. God is no liar. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, we read about the God that cannot lie. And in Hebrews, it's impossible for God to lie. It's not in His nature to lie. It's in our nature because we are fallen, but it's not in God's nature. He cannot lie. So while you may not be able to believe everything a person tells you about themselves, what your neighbor tells you or your friend tells you about himself, you can't believe everything that they say. But when God speaks and He tells you about Himself, everything that He says, you can believe. When He tells you that He's righteous, He tells you that He is love, when He tells you that He is merciful, when He tells you that He is the Savior. All these things, friends, are true about Him. When He gives us His promises, He will keep His promises. When He gives warnings, there are no idle threats. He will carry out those threats. Friends, everything that God says is worthy of our notice and attention. And then we can also say all that God says is free from error. He doesn't make any mistakes in the things that he says. We say things and we make mistakes. Maybe not deliberately so, but we make when we don't have the full knowledge of everything. But because God knows everything, he is infinite in his knowledge. Everything is before him. All the evidence, as it were, is before him. He is able to speak the truth about all things. Oh, friends, he never makes a mistake. And then we can also say this God is true when he gives out his invitations. He's sincere in his invitations. He means what he says. When he says to us, come unto me, and I, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He means it. He desires to bless us. This is spoken to us again and again in the scriptures. Oh, there are hearty calls from the Almighty to us. And he means everything that he says. And love is behind those calls. You know, so different from us. We invite somebody, we say to somebody, oh, come and see me. We maybe only half mean it. Come to my house for tea. We don't, half-hearted, we're hoping, half hoping they won't come because it might disturb our normal routine. But it's courteous to say, come. But not God is not like that. When he says, come to my house, come to me, he means it with all his heart. Well, let me give you, friends, just some ways in which we violate this commandment, obviously, by not telling the truth, by deliberate falsehoods. That's obvious, isn't it? But here are some other ways. I bear false witness when, to save me from embarrassment, well, I make some false excuses. I'm late for work, so what do? When I get to work, I tell the boss, oh, sorry, I was caught in a traffic jam. Really, the truth was I overslept. But we make up these false excuses. Or the phone rings, and we say to our child, or we say to our spouse, or tell them I'm not in, because it's inconvenient for me to answer the phone. I don't want to answer. I don't want to speak to that person, really, but tell them I'm not in. Oh, friends, that's bearing a false witness. I may bear false witness when I say untrue things about myself. I want to impress other people. I don't want them to find out what I'm really like. So, you know, I paint a false picture of myself to others and make them think that I'm really better and more able, more capable, and more wonderful, and more holy maybe even than I really am. It was said in the 17th century, I suppose very much still like today, that when painters painted when they were doing their portraits, they were expected, especially if they were painting royalty, to flatter the sitters, to paint them in the best possible light and that they could, to show them in the best position, the best posture, best complexion, everything must flatter the sitter. Well, when it came to Oliver Cromwell, who was the Lord Protector of England, he said to his painters words along these lines, paint my picture truly like me, and do not flatter me at all. Paint me, paint my roughness, pimples, warts, and everything as you see me. Otherwise, I will never pay a farthing to you. Warts and all, we say that. Paint me warts and all, just as I am. Well, very few people like to say that. But when we give a false impression, friends, to others, we are bearing a false witness about ourselves. Do I exaggerate? Do I tell stories which embellish those stories because we find, oh, people laugh when I tell those stories, and they're very greatly amused, so I add a little bit more and a little bit more to make it sound better? That's false witness. Unrealistic flattery of others is another way in which I may bear false witness. If I speak great swelling words about another person which are not true, just to lift up the other person, well, I do them harm because I give them a false impression about themselves. I say to them, you're wonderful in such and such an area, and it's not really true. Or your cooking is wonderful, and it was not really true. Or some other thing. You did this really, really well. When we, in our hearts, we think you did it really badly. Well, friends, you may spoil that person. You puff up their pride as well. So you're not doing them a favor, and we should avoid doing that. Be true. Doesn't mean to say that if somebody does something very badly, you have to tell them directly. But we know we don't want to go the other way either and just flatter, unrealistic flattery. I bear false witness when I promise to do something. I say I will do such and such a thing and yet have no real intention to do it. Well, friends, we see this so much. So often we're out in the streets at a power street and we hear people saying, I will come to church. Yeah, I will visit you. Definitely, I will come to your church. We never see them. Where are they? We've had people come sit here in the pews like you're doing, and they say to me, oh, wonderful sermon, Pastor, wonderful sermon. You know, we'll be back again, definitely. Never see them again. Where are they? Unreliable in their words, bearing dishonest testimony. Believers, friends, sometimes these people are. We should be true people of our word, our friends. Now, these are just some of the ways. But when we give way to lies like these, we grieve the Spirit of God. We hurt Him. We offend Him when we are dishonest. But lying also spoils our character. As believers, isn't it? You're aiming for a good character. You're aiming for that good name, that good reputation, that honest reputation about yourself. And we should do. We should be aiming as believers to have a good reputation, a good character. It's important for us. Not for ourselves, not for our own praise and glory, but it's good to have be a trustworthy person. This person, so-and-so, oh, he keeps his word. He says he's going to do something, he does it. She's like this and this. She says she's going to be there. She'll be there. She'll take on that task. She's reliable. She's dependable person. Well, we need to be like that, a person who means what they say and says what they mean. Well, friends, what a testimony this will be to the unbeliever. If you have a good character, the unbeliever is more likely to listen to you. They will give attention to you because you have that character behind your testimony. You have a track record behind you that puts you in good stead and opens the door when you want to communicate the gospel to somebody else. And the other person will think, well, this person, he's reliable, he's dependable. I must at least listen to what he's saying. But lying harms our character. Lying spoils us. Lying makes us unreliable. People, what a horrible thing it is. We don't like to be lied to. We don't like to be known as dishonest people. But if we lie, then this is what we become. People will doubt our words and doubt whether we really mean what we're saying. So we must be careful once again to avoid these things. Sadly, friends, lies are also spouted in churches. It used to be said, maybe still is said, if you want to hear a pastor telling lies, go to a funeral service. Because there the pastor will just go on and on and speak such wonderful things about a person who was a criminal maybe or something, or a terrible person. But even today, sadly, we hear from the pulpits preachers who are doubting the miracles that are happening, and they're trying to explain away the miracles in the Bible. Oh, Jesus didn't really walk on water. The Red Sea didn't really part as God says it did in the Word. And they try and give in natural explanations. What are they saying? Well, that's lies. They're doubting God's words. We call that liberal theology. Another thing is evolution. And we have preachers today who are trying to reconcile science or pseudoscience, as I call it, or fairy tale science with the scriptures, and they're trying to reconcile them both together. Oh, science, pseudoscience says evolution is true, so we must change the Bible to fit in with what they have discovered, apparently. Well, friends, that's introducing the evolution lie into the preaching, and it's wrong. It shouldn't be happening. Then again, we could say, very commonly today, we hear pastors who say, "Peace, peace," to people where there is no peace. When a person comes into the church and they are coerced into saying the sinner's prayer, and that person has no understanding what they're doing, and they don't even understand why they need Christ and who Christ is, and they just say a prayer to invite him into their heart, and then the pastor or somebody else, a Christian worker, will say, "Oh, wonderful, now you are believing, now you're trusting Christ, now you are a Christian." It's a lie, because that person has never repented. That person has never really truly been changed by God. And it's a lie to speak in that way. It's bearing a false witness. Well, one more thing, friends, before I come to a close, and that is lying affects also Christian fellowship. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. If we are dishonest, if we are disingenuous with one another, if we are devious, if we smile to one another, but really in our hearts we are unhappy with each other, that's going to affect your relationship with your brother or sister. But also it may mean that we as a church have less of a blessing because this is going on. So if we are resentful in our hearts and put people down behind their backs, well, and yet at the same time we smile at them, well, friends, that would be a kind of lying, a hypocritical kind of behavior that will harm us and harm our church fellowship and Christian fellowship with one another. So all these things, it's much better, isn't it, to put things right, to seek to put things right with our brother or our sister where we think there may be something amiss. But all these things, friends, this commandment, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor," they're encouraging us, every believer, to aim to be like our God, to aim to be a truthful person, to be known as a person who is sincere and honest in all that he does and says, somebody whose word is true and dependable and is a trustworthy person. What a blessing to have such believers in this day. And I close, really just, I want to close with one word for any of us here today, maybe who are not yet, haven't yet come to Christ. I turn you back to that scripture we read in 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, we read in verse 10, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Dear friends, God has borne testimony to us, and he has told us that there is life for us by looking to Christ. There is life for us by believing in Christ. When I say, "I am not going to believe, I refuse to believe," we're saying to God, "You're a liar. You're not telling the truth." When God says to you, "Come to me, I will bless you, I will forgive all your sins, I will give you eternal life," when we refuse to believe the record concerning his Son, well, we say to God, "He is not true. Lord, you're being dishonest with me. You're not telling the truth." Oh, friends, come today put away that thought. Put away that thought far from you. God is not like that. He means everything that he says. Come to Christ. Trust in him today, and he will bless you. He will keep his word to you. He will transform your life. Well, let's close this morning by singing our final hymn, which is number 467. O thou who camest from above, 467.